WOR.
Hey, good morning, everybody. We got a vicious knife fight going on in Washington, D.C. between President Trump and the Commie Four, America-hating representatives.
Commie Four, huh?
That's what I'm calling the Commie Four. They're admitted commies. Ilhan Omar says she's a communist. Once again, Len, if the facts don't suit you, you ignore them.
Have all four said they're communists?
Well, Omar's a commie. The others are socialists, but I'm sure that they would be.
Oh,
they wouldn't
you're
just
sure.
be Stalinists. You know what they would be? These women are angry and frightening. They would be Stalinists.
So you're projecting.
They're the kind of people, so if they were in power, they would put Bartlett and me in concentration camps. You know it.
Well,
you know they would.
I'm in favor of that.
And so they got your vote.
Voting for them.
They got your vote.
But you just threw water on your own argument. One of them, I don't know if she did, but if she did, fine. She said she's a communist.
She's a commie.
But the other three never said it, but you're just projecting it. They're calling them all communists.
They're pretty much commies. Just look at their policies.
Well, listen, Lindsey Graham called them commies.
They're certainly against capitalism. They certainly are. And Lindsey Graham, I think, knows a commie when he sees one.
Yes, of course he does.
Fine. Of course
they're all communists.
That leads off our big three.
Where's
also?
McCarthy when you need him? We need some hearings.
We do
in Washington.
Need a McCarthy-like crusade against these women. Also in the big three, so Con Ed tells us that it was a cable that caught fire.
65th Street Station.
That I actually heard Cuomo on the radio yesterday, and he was attacking Con Ed.
Oh, he did.
He said, you cannot have blackouts in this city because we were lucky that there was nothing awful that happened, but you just can't have them because it does cause chaos.
He was like threatening them, saying, you know, there's no law that God didn't say you have to, you know, you have to have Con Ed running things around here, and we're going to look at it closely. A lot of noise.
And rounding out the big three, de Blasio showing his fundraising prowess.
God, what
he's gathered $1 million for his
$1 million.
For his ridiculous
he can't drop
run.
Out fast enough.
That's
how
right.
many more years are going to be mayor now?
God, endless.
He just got elected.
Endless.
Yeah, another
He's going to be around forever. So.
He's got another one.
All right, let's check in with ABC News political analyst Alex Castellanos, who joins us every Tuesday at this time. Good morning to you, Alex.
Good morning, Michael.
So, Alex, I got to ask you, at first I thought when Trump went after the Commie Four there, I thought, you know, he should just not touch this and let them fight it out with Nancy Pelosi. But now I'm beginning to think this has been a shrewd move because he has made them overnight the face of the Democratic Party. And if they become that, a lot of people in those swing states are not voting for a Democrat in the upcoming election.
Michael, I think you're dead on.
Oh, he's not dead. Oh, Alex. Alex, really? Really, Alex?
We've even got some survey data to back Michael up here. Axios did a poll of swing voters, not regular voters, just swing voters, and 74% of them knew who Ocasio-Cortez was. Only 22% liked her. Ilhan Omar, 53% of the voters, over half, knew her. Only 9%. That's 9%. Bill de Blasio polls better than that. Only 9% have a favorable view of her. Socialism was viewed unfavorably by these swing voters, 69% of them. So, yes, Donald Trump has now made a group of women. They even have a name now, the Squad, a brand. So that is the face of the Democratic Party. And so this is not just about Trump's base and energizing that. This reaches across to swing voters. And it also demonstrates Trump's strength, by the way. A lot of Trump supporters think that when you're facing an outrageous threat, you need an outrageous president.
That's right.
To protect us from them.
Let me adhere
to this conversation before my head explodes. Number one, Alex and Michael, none of these four are running for president against Trump, okay? So you can make them the boogeyman all you want, but if Joe Biden runs, he has nothing to do with these four, and they're not going to drag him to the left. That's number one. And number two, by you and the president and Riedel and all of you attacking this Fab Four, you're deflecting. I mean, the guy, Trump put out a racist tweet. Don't bury your head in the sand, Alex. Admit it. It was a racist tweet, and it was wrong of the president to do it.
First, Len, they are running the Democratic Party. They are running for president. Every candidate on that debate stage stood up and agreed with them on everything, including, by the way, no criminal penalties for coming to this country illegally, free health care for everybody who does. So they're running Joe Biden's campaign and everybody else's. And two, I can't disagree with you about the that it was racist, because I don't think that the president of the United States would have said, Nancy Pelosi, go back to Italy. I don't see that. I think these women were of color, and he said, that means they're not American. Now, I think they're anti-American. I agree with the president on that, and I would have agreed with the president if he said, you know, America, love it or leave it. But he didn't do that. And I think a lot of Republican candidates are going to have to defend something now that is morally indefensible, but it's going to work politically. Donald Trump's predatory instincts are almost never wrong, and they're not wrong politically now.
That's right. I agree with you 100%, Alex. You understand something that Len just fails to grasp. Question for you, though. This is something else, Alex, that Len can't accept. He cannot accept the fact that the Democratic Party has lurched far to the left. And I think in order for Joe Biden to even have a shot at getting the nomination, he is going to have to embrace some of the stuff that the Commie Four bring up.
It's his only shot. He is such a weak candidate. He looks so frail. There's a new interview with Mika Brzezinski, and he looks so weak and frail that he's going to have to go crazy to the ideological left to try to hang on to this nomination. So, yeah, I think that's going to be a real problem for him. But when you have Elizabeth Warren, who I still think is going to get the nomination, standing up there saying, by the way, I want to get the Justice Department to investigate our government's crimes against immigrants so that the law enforcement professionals who are trying to enforce the law, they're the criminals, the people who come here illegally. Why, they're the victims. A lot of Americans are saying, what's happened to this country? That's outrageous. We need an outrageously strong leader, even if he's wrong on a lot of things, to take them on, and that's Trump.
You know, I think you're both of you engaging in some wishful thinking, and I get to the point where every time I think the president,
it sustains us. Wishful thinking now and then at these hard times is useful.
That's right.
Well, you have a good sense of humor, Alex. That's what I like about you. But but every time I think the president has hit a new low, he just exceeds it. And I at some point, and I know maybe you think I'm engaging in wishful thinking, at some point I think this has got to catch up with him, and those marginal swing voters, whatever, have got to say enough is enough already with this stuff.
Boy, I thought we passed that that deadline like day two of the presidency. I mean, seriously, I believe you can't fall off the floor. This is about as low as we can get. Donald Trump has done things personally that are indefensible. They're not new. But the threat to the country is seen as so great by his supporters that it's the law of the fireman. We don't care what the fireman did last night at the bar. We don't care who he insulted. We don't care what he said. We just want a big, strong fireman to put the fire out, and that's Trump. So I don't think you're waiting for a shoe to drop. Yeah. 1,000 of them already have.
You see, what I think can happen is with those swing voters who are not the deplorables, who are not 100% behind Trump, I think when they see those angry, America-hating congresswomen, and they are angry, and they're kind of frightening, because you get the sense they want to punish their enemies, Alex. I think when voters in swing states see that and hear them speak, they will hold their nose and they will vote for Trump to protect themselves against the loony left.
I think they will, and a lot of that won't show up on a survey.
Exactly.
No one will add five or 6 points to whatever Trump is polling. And look, I think that sweeps through the industrial Midwest. Trump may win with more electoral votes this time than he did before, if that's the face of the Democrats.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to be the face of the Democratic Party. I think when push comes,
it's going to be Joe Biden with his oxygen mask on.
I don't know if it's going to be Joe. And I'm surprised to hear Alex say it's definitely going to be Elizabeth Warren. I would think Kamala might have a shot, but I don't. You know, I just don't think that's going to be the face of the party. And I think that's what you want it to be, and I think that's what Fox News wants it to be, because they can't get enough of AOC and the others, and also that's all they broadcast about. But I think when push comes to shove, it's going to be more of a moderate situation.
Alex, Len is deluded. Deluded.
I'm betting dinner here. I'm saying that this is going to be a Warren Kamala ticket. Warren on top. Len, you're buying dinner.
if it's Warren Kamala, I'm buying dinner.
if you're buying dinner and okay. if you're right about Biden that he can hang on, I'm in.
Really?
Well, you accept the, you accept
we have expensive restaurants here in New York, not the, the rinky-dink stuff you have in Washington.
I'm counting on it.
Have you accepted the bet, Len?
Yes, fine, Alex.
Excellent.
I love okay. Alex. I think I don't agree with half of what he says, but I or three quarters, but I like him.
All right, thanks,
thanks Alex.
ABC News political analyst Alex Castellanos joins us every Tuesday at this
Next
time.
Next Tuesday can't come fast enough.
Oh, I can't wait for this bet. You are going to be... You're going to be exercising
really
your credit card.
Be a,
oh, I think
Warren,
so. I don't think
Kamala ticket.
I don't think Biden's got a chance.
An all female ticket.
I agree with Alex.
Really?
I think that's where the Democratic Party
be an
is.
An all female ticket.
It's where the Democratic Party is. Sorry, Len. It is. All right. Apollo 11 launched 50 years ago today. We've got some fascinating and kind of unknown facts about the moon landing for you when we get back. Hey, I want to tell you about iHeartRadio Broadway, bringing you the best of Broadway 24/7. Brought to you by Mercedes. Now, this great new station features music from all your favorite Broadway shows, plus podcasts that I host. There are three ways to enjoy the station. Visit iHeartRadioBroadway.com, search Broadway on the iHeartRadio app, or stream the Broadway station on all smart speakers and devices.
W-O-R.
Well, it's coming up on 7:24. Where were you 50 years ago today?
I was three.
You were three, huh?
Yeah.
You remember it well?
Yeah, I don't. I remember moon landings in the early 70s.
Right.
My father would get me up in early morning to watch them, but I don't remember the
first one. Remember the original one, yeah.
No.
Yeah. 50 years ago today.
We choose to go to the moon in this decade and do the other things, not because they are easy, but because they are hard.
Five, four, three, two, one, zero. All engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff. 32 minutes past the hour. Liftoff on Apollo 11.
It's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
Well, that's what Neil said, Neil Armstrong, 4 days later. Neil, mm-hmm. of course, from Wapakoneta, Ohio.
Sure.
Small town north of Dayton.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, listening to that, you know, there's this whole controversy, not a controversy, but he meant to say one small step for a man.
Right.
And there was some research that says that's what he really said. But listen now closely. It doesn't sound like there's any or a chance.
No, I don't hear that.
It's one small step for man.
I don't hear any in there.
No, I hear that's one small step for man.
But he said there was a spot or some research has indicated they think he said it or might have said it, but I didn't hear it there.
Natalie, oh, whatever.
You want to weigh in there?
Well, you're looking at me, aren't you? No, I was looking at you.
Yes, you were. What's the first?
Is that okay?
Yes, I don't know.
No, I
don't normally pay any attention to it.
I read something where the astronauts up to that point, you know, they were military pilots.
Yeah.
They were not celebrities.
Right.
And they weren't allowed to speak. I mean, it wasn't their thing to be in the public. So they never came up with, okay, when you get to the moon, you're going to have to say something profound. But right before he started thinking, you know, I should probably say something.
Yeah.
And he was thinking in his head, and that's what he came up with right before. Now, wow. I don't know if this is all accurate, but this is what I was reading.
No, I'm sure it's true.
And, you know, he had it in his head. Maybe it just didn't come out. And that was what he was thinking he was going to say, but it didn't always. And he admits that. He said, you know, maybe it didn't come out the way I wanted it to.
But what you're saying about the non-celebrity thing, I mean, after he got back to Earth, you would think he'd be a big star, a big celebrity, go on the speaking circuit. Nothing. Didn't do interviews, didn't profit off anything.
Because
he basically was a silent guy.
But it wasn't what they were supposed to do.
Yeah.
But he became famous.
Well,
he was famous just by virtue of being the first.
Couple of interesting things, unknown, kind of unknown things about the moon landing. So, you know, they missed the touchdown point. And that was a really scary moment because they had picked a spot because the moon has got a lot of rocks and boulders.
Wasn't Tranquility Base all
along?
Well,
they missed it by like 3 miles.
What was wrong with their ways? Not working right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
No, they had an issue with the navigation.
They had an issue, and they realized we were not going to be able to land where we thought we were going to land. And they had to be careful because if they landed on a boulder, the whole thing could break up.
They almost aborted the landing.
Because yeah, they almost aborted the landing.
They lost the system that was going to guide them to the landing spot.
That's right. And so they had to find another spot right there, and they picked one that they could land on. The other thing that they were concerned about, they didn't really know too much about the moon dust, and they thought there could be an issue that the moon dust was like quicksand, and if they stepped into it, they would sink into the moon dust. So that was an issue. And here's the thing, Nixon there was an alternative speech written in case the thing had gone awry.
I heard about
that. And he had to face the American people
Say.
And he actually had, the speech actually, was it discovered recently?
It's out.
It's the speech
is out.
You
can read it if you want.
You can read the speech,
yeah.
It talked about leaving them on the moon.
Yeah.
Actually, I have the speech right here from Bill Sapphire, William Sapphire, and this is the title of the speech. In event of moon disaster, July 18th, 1969.
Wow, so they wrote to cover themselves. Huh?
Fate has ordained that the men who went to the moon to explore in space will stay on the moon to rest in peace. That would have been the opening phrase.
Wow, so they really thought they couldn't get out of there, huh?
Well, they had, if they couldn't, I mean, it was a very risky
wasn't there
mission.
Something where they had to use some kind of... they had to put something together at the last second to let the thing take off again. Remember, there was some little piece of equipment that was broken.
Well, yes, and well, he had to use Neil Armstrong used his pen to as a makeshift switch because one of the switches had been broken. So,
and of course, I remember Uncle Walter, Walter Cronkite, before and after.
From here in Florida, the Merritt Island Launch Complex at the Kennedy Space Center near what we used to know as Cape Canaveral is now known as Cape Kennedy. Man is about to launch himself on a trip to the moon with the expectation of landing there.
None better. Walter Cronkite. Oh, my God. And, of course, it was 50 years ago today.
Ignition sequence start. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff. 32 minutes past the hour. Liftoff on Apollo 11.
Time for the news. Good morning, Joe Bartlett.
Good morning, Lynn. Back to today. A decision expected today about...
Unfortunately, I love living with Uncle Walter.
I know you do.
My God.
A decision expected today about the civil rights charge. The Eric Garner case, front and center today. The Garner family got to meet with federal prosecutors in Brooklyn this morning. And then we're going to have a news conference. Tomorrow marks 5 years since Garner died. It's also the deadline to bring federal civil rights charges. So we'll see if that's going to happen. Supporters of Garner say he died after being placed in a band chokehold by Officer Daniel Pantaleo. No criminal charges were ever brought. President Trump not backing down after telling four freshman congresswomen to go back to their countries, not apologizing in the face of a lot of criticism.
If you're not happy here, you can leave. And that's what I say all the time. That's what I said in a tweet, which I guess some people think is controversial. A lot of people love it, by the way. A lot of people love it.
Four congresswomen speaking out, though, they didn't like it. They called the comments racist. Congresswoman Rashida Tlaib even said they should move ahead now with impeachment of the president. Mayor de Blasio says a New York Post editorial makes no sense, speaking to New York One after the Post called for de Blasio to be removed from office because he wasn't in town during Saturday's blackout.
I don't know what the New York Post is talking about. This is ludicrous. A CEO in the modern age is in constant touch with his people wherever you are, and you have to lead, and I lead a huge operation. It's very hard to explain the sheer magnitude of what I have to govern over every single day, but the city is working.
Okay.
That's why I get up at 10. God, what a buffoon.
By the way, he didn't even go to City Hall yesterday. It was, I think the first time he was spotted was like 6 o'clock. I don't know. Why would he go there? You're right, Lynn. Con Ed offering an explanation for that blackout. They say a relay protection system at a substation on the Upper West Side did not isolate a bad volt distribution cable. That was the problem, but it set off a series of failures. It spread through Midtown. They're working to see that that never happens again. News brought to you by National Realty Investment Advisors. Investment returns of up to 20%. See them at NRIA.net. Well, Amazon Prime Day is a great day for shoppers, but also apparently for thieves. Bloomberg News reports that porch pirates are on the prowl looking for Amazon packages that have been left on...
Porch pirates are on the prowl looking for packages?
You say that one, Len.
That's good, Joe.
I know it.
Well done.
I practiced it several times. 19% of U.S. households had a package stolen at some point in 2017. The average value is $140, and the thefts have spiked by 85% during the delivery period of Prime Day. Authorities say while there are more deliveries between Thanksgiving and Christmas, thieves are more active now because there's a more specific window when the packages are being delivered.
Well, Prime Day was yesterday and today.
And today. So,
2 days of Prime Day. Yeah,
so my Prime package is coming tomorrow.
What'd you order?
A little security camera.
Oh, for the house. A good thing to steal. If you know where Bartlett lives, you need a security camera. All right. Thanks, Joey. Coming up next, we have Monica Lewinsky's Little Joke.
Oh, did you hear that?
And we'll get the latest on the bizarre Jeffrey Epstein case with ABC's Aaron Katursky. Be part of history. Watch the entire world of music converge on Las Vegas for our iHeartRadio Music Festival. Two nights, one stage, performances you've never seen before, you'll never see again, starring Def Leppard and Heart and Hootie and the Blowfish and Tim McGraw and a cast of thousands. Witness music history September 20th and 21st at T-Mobile Arena in Vegas. Tickets at iHeartRadio.com/tickets. And all the information you want is at 710WOR.com.
W-O-R.
You know, Len, we're talking about the 50th anniversary of the Apollo 11 moon landing, and we found the alternative speech that William Safire wrote for Richard Nixon to deliver if they had to leave the guys on the moon, if they couldn't get off. Natalie's posted on our website, 710WOR.com.
It's really sobering.
It's chilling. Yeah. I mean, you thank God he didn't have to deliver it. But at the very end, they say, after the president's statement, at the point when NASA ends communications with the men, a clergyman should adopt the same procedures as a burial at sea, commending their souls to the deepest of the deep, concluding with the Lord's Prayer. Ooh, can you imagine?
And it said, prior to the president's statement, the president should telephone each of the widows to be.
Yeah.
So they're saying that they're on the moon, they're alive, but we can't get them off.
We can't get them off.
So they're going to be widows to be, but the speech that he was going to give. In ancient days, men looked at stars and saw their heroes in the constellations. In modern times, we do the same thing, but our heroes are epic men of flesh and blood. Mm. Others will follow and surely find their way home. Man's search will not be denied, but these men were the first, and they will remain the foremost in our hearts. Mm. Something?
They didn't have another backup rocket that they could have launched with another crew of astronauts to try to rescue them? I guess.
Well, as it turns out, now, the launch was 50 years ago today. The landing was 4 days later. So
right.
This was a four-day trip.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe they thought that they couldn't get to them in time.
Mm, chilling. Thank God Richard Nixon did not have to deliver that speech.
He did. Now, I mentioned Monica Lewinsky. Did you like her little joke there on Twitter?
So. Yeah. Monica Lewinsky, she didn't have to think too hard when she answered a question on Twitter about the worst career advice users had ever gotten. Quote, an internship at the White House will be amazing on your resume, she replied with an emoji of a blushing smiley face.
Well, that's cute.
It's cute.
Okay. There you go.
Great story you found there, Len.
Well, I thought it was cute.
It's cute. All right. Let's check in with ABC News correspondent Aaron Katursky to get the latest on the multimillionaire pedophile Jeffrey Epstein. Good morning to you, Aaron.
Well, good morning to you. A judge is going to decide on Thursday whether Jeffrey Epstein can be released on bail. He is asking for it because his attorneys say he's lived a law-abiding life for the last decade or so, has not, walked around being some rapist, although Judge Richard Berman in federal court yesterday speculated that, any sex crimes involving minors generally doesn't mean bail. So it's a tall order, and there was a dramatic moment when Epstein came face to face with two women who said they were trafficked. One, Courtney Wilde, said she was 14 when she was in Palm Beach. And another, Annie Farmer, said that she was 16 when she was taken to New Mexico at Epstein's behalf. And the women called him scary to have walking around, and they both spoke out in favor of no bail.
Well, now, why didn't the judge issue his ruling yesterday? Why does he have to wait till Thursday?
You know, Len, it's a good question. I think Judge Berman must know that he's presiding over the highest profile case in the country at the moment and wanted to make sure that there are no appellate issues. There's nothing being seen as improper. And so he did give wide berth to both prosecutors and defense to make their arguments. The hearing went on for more than 2 hours. And, prosecutors said that the conditions that Epstein proposed for bond amounted to him building his own jail, a gilded cage with armed guards and cameras, and anybody who needs all those conditions, prosecutors said, needs to be locked up. But the defense said that they could assure that Epstein wants to come to court, wants to clear his name, wants to fight the charges, and they say he's so rich he'd pay any bond that the judge sets.
Hey, Aaron, what about this phony passport that was discovered in his safe? Any sense of what that might have been used for?
So this was part of the evidence that prosecutors presented as they tried to show Michael that that he's an extreme flight risk. Mm-hmm. And prosecutors said they could, you know, they searched the Manhattan home and they find in a locked safe, they find piles of cash, dozens of diamonds, and a passport with Epstein's picture, but in a different name and listing a country of origin as Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
And even though this was expired, they said, you know, this is an example of the kind of thing that Epstein kept around, and why else would he keep something like that around?
Now, we heard from the attorneys who are representing these two new victims who came forward. Did we hear anything in court from or outside court what Epstein's attorney said?
No, Reid Weingarten didn't speak, and he preferred to leave it all in the courtroom. And now the defense said that they know bail is not presumed in these kinds of cases, but they say that in this particular case, there were appropriate conditions. You know, but the judge had some question about that. You know, like, what do you tell somebody sitting in Rikers who can't afford $500 bail?
Mm-hmm.
Like, how are we to square that? And that's when prosecutors said, you know, this is a guy who wants to build his own gilded cage. And I think they're trying to show that rich man's justice just isn't going to fly.
Right.
In the Southern District of New York. But the defense also said, they kind of previewed the argument to dismiss, saying, look, he had a non-prosecution agreement back in 2008. This is an improper prosecution. This isn't quintessential sex trafficking. And if we're right, and he does walk, then, you know, holding him without bail means a loss of freedom that cannot be replaced.
Hmm. You know, I was just going to ask you, Aaron, and you're hinting at it, what do you get the sense the defense case is going to be? I mean, the evidence is clearly, it seems to me, overwhelming of this guy's guilt.
I think the best shot they probably have is that this is some kind of double jeopardy, or that the agreement that he signed back in 2008 to plead down to lesser charges in state court, kind of sufficed for everything. You know, prosecutors said yesterday, though, that they are well within their legal rights to bring the case. They think it's going to hold up. They think that he is going to stand trial. And when he does, that he will ultimately be found guilty. And they say their case is strong and getting stronger every day, because in the week or so since Epstein was charged, they said dozens of people have come forward with information either about him or the allegations. And they say their investigation is expanding its scope.
Now, we're on with Aaron Kotursky, ABC News, covering the Jeffrey Epstein bail hearing. No decision was made yesterday. Judge Berman will rule on Thursday. We're all assuming no bail, but we'll see Thursday. But before you run, Aaron, two women came forward yesterday, two more victims. Are we going to see a whole parade of victims once this trial does indeed get underway?
You know, I let's wait to see, because and to see what prosecutors do. There's a sense that this may only be the beginning. You know, they get him on the sex trafficking charges. Now they're starting to interview additional witnesses. Perhaps the charges expand. Right now, the case is based on three women, two of whom were part of the 2008 were known to prosecutors in 2008. A third woman was trafficked here in New York, allegedly, and that's part of the reason why prosecutors think they're on firm legal ground, because they are bringing a woman forward who was not part of that original 2008 indictment that had been prepared and then ultimately quashed. So at the moment, it's three women, but you imagine that as they dig into this a little more, that, you know, there could be others.
All right. ABC News correspondent Aaron Kotursky. Thanks, Aaron.
Thanks, Aaron.
Thanks, Michael. Thanks, Lynn.
When we get back, a million people have signed up on Facebook to storm Area 51 on September 20th to look for aliens. Len will be among them. That's all coming up next.
UOR.
So you're a big alien and ET conspiracy theorist?
Nope, I'm not.
Are you aware of Area 51 in Nevada?
It's in
Nevada?
New Mexico, right?
I think it's Nevada.
Nevada, yeah, right.
It's a Nevada test and training range, and for years, people have speculated that there are aliens there. You know, they've captured them.
Or the bodies of aliens.
They've examined them there, and they've got UFOs there, and people just assume it's there. But our U.S. government, of course, because you know how the government is, they're keeping it top secret.
Wouldn't it be more exciting if they were alive?
Yeah.
They were just running around.
Yeah, well, they're there. They have them behind bars.
Are they phoning home?
Oh, they're behind. They're behind bars.
They, I mean, and they're in cages. Pieces, and they ride flying
they're
bicycles.
They're in cages at the border.
Yes. They ride flying bicycles. They do.
Oh, God. So anyway, this group has started this thing on Facebook.
This is awesome.
And it's called Storm Area 51. They can't stop all of us.
I think that's a vacation right there.
So on September the 20th, between the hours of 3 a.m. and 6 a.m., they are storming, this is all a sign up at Facebook, they are storming Area 51 at the Amargosa Valley, Nevada, zip code 20908. And so far, a million people have signed up, said, we're going, we're storming the place.
They said the numbers are good because there are signs outside of the area, you know, danger, warning, you're not allowed in here, but that they can use deadly force. If you enter without permission.
Sure.
But they figure if they have the numbers, they're not going to get all of us. They might get some of us, but not all of us.
Not all of us.
So some will get in.
Well, they have
and let us know what's there.
They've advertised the date. And so the Air Force is making preparations. They've briefed everyone there. Now,
five people will show up.
Yeah, you'll be arrested for trespassing, number one. You'll be prosecuted to the fullest extent of local and military law. Local cops will work together to curb any attempts to wander there. They're prepared to use, they're saying non-lethal force.
Oh, but the signs say they can.
They're going to use tear gas and pepper spray. But apparently the terrain is really rough there, so it's tough. It's on a narrow two-lane highway about 3 hours outside of Vegas.
They're on a mission. They're getting in.
But it says, but it says here if the cops and the landscape don't stop you, the desert critters just might. Because they said the terrain surrounding Area 51 is full of snakes, scorpions. And other dangerous animals.
I'm telling you, there will be five people that'll show up.
What do you think? There'll be more than five. People are nuts.
There's a lot of big believers in that Area 51.
Has anyone ever seen this Area 51? Do we really know what's in there?
It's like
Aliens? Are there dead aliens?
No, it's a test site for the Air Force. Yeah. That's all it is.
No, they have aliens there, Michael.
You really believe that,
Joe? Yeah.
Do you believe that? You believe we found aliens?
Yes.
You are.
Blockers. I think he does believe it. I told
you.
Right,
you know what? Joe's going around the bend.
Joe was out of the room. Joe was out of the room, and I said to Michael, "I think Joe's nuts."
And I think you're right.
That's not nice to say about Joe.
Well, he believes in aliens in Area 51. Natalie, he is bonkers.
I think he might be there some too. I don't know.
Oh, come on.
Well, what's the big secret? Why don't they let people in?
September 20th.
They don't let people in because
September
they test.
September 20th, Natalie, where are you going to be?
Yeah, Joe, did you sign up, Joe, on Facebook?
Oh, yeah, I'm going.
I'm taking off.
I'm going to be there.
Let's see.
Joe, come on,
Vegas
let's go together.
Time. Now, in September, is that 3 hours or 2 hours difference? Is it 3 hours? So that'll be just when we're hitting air.
See?
Mark it down.
Can I report live from Area 51
first? Yeah, please do.
First?
Please, that'd be great.
Be awesome.
I mean, if I were president, that's the first question I'd ask when I get sworn in.
You don't think Trump has?
I want to know what's in Area 51.
Wait a minute. Wasn't there some story that he did ask that?
I think.
Yeah, and they said you can't know.
They didn't tell
they did not.
Yes.
How can you tell the commander in chief that?
No.
That can't be.
Yes. Yeah.
Really?
Let him know because he'll tell us all.
He will. He'll tweet it out.
Yep.
He'll tweet
That's
it
why
out
they
tomorrow.
Didn't tell him.
Can't keep a secret. That's
well,
true.
I did think he tweeted those people in Area 51 should go back to the worlds they came from. I think that's what he tweeted. Just go back. If they don't like it here, go back to the world.
Go back
you
to Neptune.
From.
Well, I'm excited. I can't wait.
By the way, I got a question for you, aviation fans. Do you think the Boeing 737 will ever fly again?
What a disaster.
They're saying now
not till
the grounding is going to stretch until 2020.
Yeah, wow. The end of the year. Yeah. Obviously, it's not a quick fix.
No.
Is anyone ever going to want to get on a 737? I mean, do you think it could ever possibly fly again?
Well, I mean, maybe if they fix the training. Give them a new manual, whatever they have to do. They've got to have better training.
You're saying a new delay could, could maybe not fly until 2020.
I think they've canceled flights, most of the major airlines, through October and November.
It's got to cost them a bundle.
Sure.
Absolutely. Has Boeing stock suffered at all? Because initially.
Airbus stock is going up.
Is what?
Because Airbus, because
that's
the
big competitor.
Yeah.
Wow. Anyway, I don't know if 737 will ever get off the ground again. All right, we return. Here we go again.
What?
Lace up the gloves.
Oh,
it's Trump versus the squad as both sides come out firing. Riddle, of course, delusional with all this. It's all coming up after the news. It's 8 o'clock.